Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke. From chapter 24, we will read verses 13 through 35 in the New King James Version Pew Bible. We're on page 1508. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Luke 24, 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to Jesus, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Jesus to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find Jesus' body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said Jesus was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but Jesus they did not see." Then Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and Jesus indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent." And Jesus went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew Jesus, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while Jesus talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how Jesus was known to them in the breaking of the bread. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Our God is a living God. Our God is alive. Our living God created humans and breathed into them the breath of God. It was a living God that walked with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the evening. It was a living God that promised that though Adam and Eve had yielded to the lies of the tempter, that one day one would be coming that would crush the tempter's head. While sin and death entered the garden, so did the grace of God. A Messiah is coming. Noah found grace in the eyes of a living God. The living God told Noah that the earth would be covered with a flood and told him to build an ark and take into it his family and pairs of animals. It was a living God that spoke to Abraham to leave his birthland and go to a new land. Abraham was promised by God that a people would come forth from his descendants that through whom the whole world would be blessed. It was a living, graceful God that spoke to Moses from a burning bush and called him to lead the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt back to the promised land in Canaan. As God had made a covenant with Abraham, God made a covenant with the Israelite people through Moses. God instructed Moses to tell the people not to make a carved image or a likeness of God. They did not worship gods or idols without the breath of life. They worship a living God. It was a living God that renewed the covenant with David and promised that through him would be an everlasting kingdom. The Messiah would come through the descendants of David. Elijah was a great prophet who called down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifices as he challenged the prophets of the false god Baal. The prophet Isaiah made it clear the folly of false gods. Hear his words in Isaiah 44. "Thus says the Lord, who made you, I will pour out my spirit on your descendants. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I'm the first and the last. Besides me, there is no God. Those who make an image, all of them are useless. The craftsman stretches out his rule. He marks one with chalk, and then he fashions it with a plane. He marks it with his compass, and he makes it like the figure of a man. He cuts down a tree from the forest. He burns some of it to warm himself, and he kindles it, and he bakes bread, and then he makes a god and worships it. He makes a carved image and falls down before it. He prays to it and says, "Deliver me, for you are my God." How foolish it is to cut down a tree and use part of it to warm yourself and part of it to bake your bread, and then the other part to carve out an image and then fall down and worship it. A dead god made by your own hands cannot deliver you. But wait, a loving, graceful Messiah is coming who will deliver you. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and some of the other women rushed from the empty tomb of Jesus to the disciples. They told them that two men in shining robes had said that Jesus had risen from the dead. Their words seemed like idle tales to the disciples. Peter jumped up and he ran to the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and Peter departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. That same day, two of the disciples were walking 7 miles from Jerusalem to a village called Emmaus. As they walked, they talked about all that had happened. And Jesus drew near, and he began to walk with them, but they did not recognize him. And Jesus asked, "What are you talking about, and why are you so sad?" And Cleopas incredulously asked, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Do not know the things that happened there?" Jesus asked, "What things?" So they began to tell the stranger the stories of Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in word and deed, and before God and all the people. They probably supported their words with stories of Jesus teaching parables that explained the kingdom of God, maybe how he fed thousands with a few loaves and fish. They might have told about Jesus casting out demons and healing diseases. I even raised a young girl from the dead and two men from the dead. He embraced children and forgave sins. They explained the chief priests and our rulers delivered Jesus to be condemned to death and crucified him. We were hoping that he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. All of this happened 3 days ago. As Jesus kept silent, they brought the most astonishing part of what had happened. They said, "Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early, they astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that Jesus is alive. Certain of those of us who were with us went to the tomb, and they found it just as the women had said, but Jesus they did not see." The two men had finally exhausted their news, and Jesus said, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" So beginning at Moses, beginning with Genesis, it was written by Moses, and all those books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then the prophets, Jesus explained all the scriptures about the things concerning him, the Christ, the Messiah. We don't know exactly what Jesus explained to the two followers of Jesus. Maybe Jesus began with the Garden of Eden and he journeyed through the Ark and the Moses and the prophets. Genesis 3:15 predicts the seed of the woman who will bruise the serpent's head. That's interpreted as Jesus' victory over Satan. Genesis 12:3 indicates that the Messiah would come through Abraham's line. And Genesis 49:10 mentions the Messiah would be from the tribe of Judah. In Numbers 21:8, prefigures Jesus being lifted up on the cross as the bronze serpent was set on the pole, and they would be cured from the serpent bite if they had it. And Deuteronomy 18:15 prophesies a future prophet, like Moses, but would be even better, referring to Jesus. 2 Samuel 7:12 establishes the Messiah as a descendant of King David. Psalm 22 depicts the scenes of a crucifixion. It talks about mocking and casting lots for clothes and pierced hands and feet. Psalm 72 describes a future righteous king and his universal dominion. Isaiah 7:14 foretells the virgin birth and the name Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah 9:6-7 proclaims the birth of a child who is the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 53 details the suffering servant who dies for sins and is resurrected. Micah 5:2 predicts the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Zechariah 9:9 prophesies the Messiah's entry into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Psalm 9:4 portrays the Messiah praying for his enemies. Isaiah 53:9 says the Messiah would be buried with the rich. And Psalm 16:10 and Psalm 49:15 has God redeeming the soul from the power of the grace and receiving him. These and many more could be lifted out of the Old Testament scripture, which was the scripture of Jesus' time on earth. I also appreciate the words of the pastor on the internet video site, Desiring God, for May 8, 2015. He wrote, "Maybe Jesus went through highlighting the grace of God found in the Old Testament. That grace has been revealed and culminated in Jesus. Jesus is the living God who's greater than Abraham, greater than Moses, the priest Aaron, greater than King David, greater than the prophet Elijah. Jesus is greater than any whom has ever come before him or after him." In Our Daily Bread, Dave Brannon wrote these words on the power of grace. When Mark was pulled over by an officer for driving while intoxicated, he was afraid that his college football career was over. He was sure he was going to jail. Instead, the policeman dropped him off at his college. When Mark asked why, the police officer said, "I'm giving you grace." Still, the young man was certain that his coach would find out about it and that he would lose his scholarship. So when the coach asked to see Mark after practice the next day, he was anxious. Surprisingly, the coach said, "I know what happened last night, but I'm giving you grace." He then suggested that Mark consider attending church the next Sunday. So Mark went. And guess what the pastor talked about? The grace of Jesus, offering us salvation when we don't deserve it. Well, Mark got the message. That day, he trusted Jesus as his Savior. He spent the rest of his life serving Jesus, and he started a ranch for boys who need a second chance. You have been saved by grace through faith. As Jesus walked with his followers, they reached the village of Emmaus, and Jesus indicated that he would continue on with his journey. But Cleopas and his friend urged Jesus, "Abide with us. It's toward evening. The day is far spent." So Jesus went in, and they sat at the table. Again, the roles become reversed. We notice when Jesus first began to journey with the two men, they were explaining to Jesus. Then Jesus began to explain Scripture to them. In the home, the men were the host who invited Jesus to stay. But at the table, Jesus became the host of the meal. Jesus took the bread, he blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to them. When he did so, then their eyes were opened and they knew Jesus. And just as they recognized him, he vanished from their sight. They talked to one another. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us and he opened the scripture to us? And though it was evening, the two men rose up that very hour and rushed to Jerusalem. They found the 11 disciples of Jesus and others gathered together. The disciples in Jerusalem greeted Cleopas and the friend with, "The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." The two men who had met Jesus on the road to Emmaus likewise shared what had happened with them. They explained how Jesus was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself appeared in the midst of them, and he said, "Peace to you." If Jesus had not risen from the dead, he would have been an inspired teacher, a gifted healer, a miracle worker, a forgiving man, a loving brother, a humble servant, even a merciful saint. But he would not have been God. We worship a living God who is a risen Lord and Savior. Jesus is alive and he offers life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Let us pray. Living God, we thank you for the gift of salvation and for life everlasting. May we believe and help others believe. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.